You're listening to Siren Radio, and it's time for another edition of Cultural Connections. And it had to happen. It's time for an all-Nigerian Cultural Connections special. Ola, we finally reached that stage where it is all Nigerian as far as cultural connections are concerned. We have obviously the fabulous Dr. Ola Ogunyemi in the chair, in the hot seat. And Ola, you've got two fabulous folk from Nigeria, Samuel Adebayo. Hi, Sam. How are you, Sam?
Yeah, I'm good, and you?
Excellent. And we've also got the equally fabulous Hamid Shodipo, I should say. How are you, Hamid?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's excellent. Ola, you just raised a very interesting point with me in the intro, insofar as one in five Africans are actually Nigerian.
That is true, you know. And
you are the China of the African content, basically.
If you put it that way.
It's extraordinary. Yes. Okay, on this edition of Cultural Connections, which might be the last of the current academic year, although who knows what we'll have in store as far as various other bits and pieces are concerned, we'll be talking about summer vacations and such like. And also, this is going to be interesting with three Nigerians, is there a role for Eurovision in the world? Let's open that up as a start-off point. First of all, Samuel, did you watch Eurovision, or is it a case of, I know not of what you speak?
Yeah, actually, no. I tried to watch it. I really don't know quite much about it, but I know that the Eurovision is about music, concerts, and among the European countries, but I really don't watch it like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think even those who did actually watch it were probably quite bemused by the whole thing, but never mind. It's a way of actually showing one of the last bastions post-Brexit of ways in which Europeans and Israel and Australia, of course, can take part in the whole thing. What about yourself, Hamid? Were you following Eurovision in any way, shape or form?
Okay, thank you very much. Eurovision, I could remember there was a time I was actually Googling on it, and then I had to watch it via YouTube. And then I was able to understand that Eurovision, just like the way we have World Cup, we actually have that for music as well, whereby it brings about unity amongst countries, where you'll be able to bring European countries together, and then they will now be able to select, have a representative where they will be able to sing. It's not a must, it is their own song. It is not a must, it is from their own native language, just to bring about that unity together. And I think I can understand that for this year it will be done in United Kingdom as against Ukraine due to the war that is actually going on at the moment.
Well, Hamid, I have to say that's almost a first-class answer to do you watch Eurovision, and it's brought you neatly round to your reward, which isn't dedicated to the United Kingdom's entry into Eurovision this year, because we finished second from last, not last, but you've gone for Burna Boy. Why have you gone for Burna Boy as your first choice of music?
Yeah, Burna Boy, the music last is one of the global music, and it is very, very inspiring. So I bring Burna Boy because it brings unity, not just for African, but just for those people that love music. When they listen to that music, they really vibe to it. So I chose Burna Boy for it.
We don't cast, last, now everybody go to our breakfast.
Shayo. Shayo.
To go bow for the result, oh. Nothing to discuss, oh. Cause I did win by default and without any doubt, oh. I'm a me, I be a doubt, oh. I no go feed the girl, I no go feed the girl, it's out, oh. I'm a mind that's really dark, oh. I put my life into my job and I know I'm in trouble. She manipulate my love, oh. I know holy and I know that kebo, like the Baba Frayo. Soboma, I dey try to buy moto, one Toyota Corolla. My feelings been they swing like Django Lover. Feelings
even they swing like Django Loba. Now you crash your Ferrari for Lekki Bona. Now so much you remake could have been all over. My feelings today swing like Django Loba. Feelings today swing like Timbani Kachuru Achuru. I'm a white dog in Fendi suit. Why you say I did nothing for you when if I do anything you want me to do? Timbani Kachuru Achuru. I'm a white dog in Fendi suit. Why you say I did nothing for you when if I do anything you want me to do? Maybe another time, maybe another life. You will be my wife and we'll get it right. Everybody go chop breakfast. Have to say bye bye yo, bye bye yo, to the love of my life. My eye oh, don't cry yo. I need big bo and shadow. 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 I need big bo and shadow.
A Nigerian singer, songwriter, and record producer who rose to stardom in 2012 after releasing Like to Party, the lead singer from his, lead single from his debut studio album Life, or L-I-F-E. I mean, 2012, Ola, I mean, you were probably just, what, 19 then, 20, etc.? Seems like such a long time, 11 years ago. Did you follow Burna Boy, or is it a case of, no, I was too involved with work at the University of Lincoln then to bother with such things as popular music in Nigeria?
Well, this one of the new generation of singers that came after I had left Nigeria. So it's just a matter of, you know, listening to them online and, you know, wondering how young people are getting into that vibes and things like that. So my kind of music was way back in the 80s, 70s and 80s.
I will reveal to the listener that prior to the show today, Ola was humming along to The Cure and some of the Robert Smith classic songs, really. So have you ever considered a musical career yourself, Ola, in terms of cutting a rug?
Not quite. Interestingly, you know, I'm also a member of a choir. You know, a choral society, you know, and in Lincoln here, I've been a member of North Highcamp Choral Society for about 20 years. You know, we only, you know, folded, you know, after the COVID pandemic, because most of our members were actually very elder. In fact, I happen to be the youngest, and, you know, the oldest were in their 80s and 90s, you know, so you can just imagine. And then, of course, the inability to attract young people to the kind of music that we do, because we do classical music and all sort of things like that, and I don't think young people want to be singing that. So yes, I do have passion for singing, but not to be a professional one in that sense. You know.
Well, further news about Burna Boy, or indeed Damini Ogulu, I think is his full name, born on the 2nd of July 1991. So 3 years before I started at the University of Lincoln. At the University of Husband since then. It's very strange. Okay, let's move on to our first topical topic, which is the concept of summer vacations. Samuel, well, first of all, just describe why you're at the University of Lincoln. What is your position here? What you're doing here? What are you reading? What are you studying? What's the reason for you in this part of the East Midlands that we refer to as Lincoln?
Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm studying MBA, Master of Business Administration, right now, and the aim is to get into the business field. Okay. So I probably chose Lincoln because I, you know, while I was doing the application, then I applied to different schools, and I got offer from like five other schools, but I don't know. I just fell in love with Lincoln because Lincoln have this kind of communication thing, like every time communication to about the schools, about your activities, just to follow up. And so that's actually come my attention, like, well, if a school can actually be like this, that means they have more to offer when you get there. And it's actually one of the major reasons why I choose them. And also one of the reasons is because of my department, they have some kind of activity that I feel like, okay, this will up my exposure, because they have like this 100 trip. And they have other stuff. I felt like, okay, this will actually help me, because I really want to go into the business environment and no more. So that was the reason why I actually chose Lincoln and why I chose the course that I'm actually doing right now.
So it wasn't simply a case of, I want to go to the university that has Ola Oguniemi as a member of academic staff. So we're trying to roll that out as a PR thing to actually sort of work through that process.
No. For this, I don't know anybody in Lincoln. In fact, I don't know anybody in Lincoln. So I just do my own research about the skills. I feel like, okay, this is actually the skill I want. And I
okay, let's throw the same question at Hamid. Why? What brought you to the University of Lincoln? What are you doing?
Okay, thank you. I'm presently doing Master's Logistics and Global Operations. So let me bring you back to why I chose University of Lincoln. At first, a friend of mine who happens to study here before told me about University of Lincoln, and I'm the type, I just don't go for a particular choice, not until I'm convinced. So I Google about them, and then I understand something, and it's very catchy, and that is their history in terms of employability, and secondly about the attraction with young people. So when I Google about them, and I was able to understand the fact that, oh, they are really doing well. And secondly, looking at the choice of course I'm actually looking at, which is logistics, I tend to solve logistical issues. And then I try to look at the modules, what do they really offer, what do they really have to offer me. So when I look at them and I compare it with other university within that same level, I was able to understand that, oh, University of Lincoln is okay. Then lastly, going to the Lincoln Business School, there are a lot of opportunity there for us. And then talking about what Samuel was talking about global experience, there are a lot of experience there for us. Now, and on my arrival, I was not disappointed at all. Everything I was actually looking at, oh, would they be able to offer me this? Would they be able to offer me that? I was getting even more than what I expected. So I can say that I never regretted my decision to come here. What I expected, I was getting more than enough of it. And the course I'm actually doing, I could tell that when I'm done with it, I'll be part of the competitive, with my other colleagues that are offering it in another school. I believe that I should be able to have something good to offer when it comes to the world.
Which is wonderful, but yet again, surprisingly, no mention of the fact that Ola Oguniemi actually teaches in the School of Media and Journalism. I'm shocked. I mean, Ola, we clearly need to ramp up your star in terms of Nigeria here to actually raise that profile.
You know, we are from different schools, so they wouldn't have known about me or heard about me. You know, it's a large university. So I'm even seeing them for the first time now. You know, so, but it's good that we have that kind of diversity within the university, where we have students, staff from different countries, you know, and then, you know, chance meetings sometimes can be very fabulous and say, wow. Yeah. So, you know, I'm happy that you are here and I can learn from you and all sorts of things like that. So I'm really pleased that the university has made the expectation. I used to represent the university in recruitment drives in Nigeria in 2006-2007 period. And people actually come forward because when they see an academic and also somebody who looks like them sitting down there promoting the university, they kind of become curious. So and people come to you and ask questions and things like that. So yeah, I'm very pleased that both of you, you know, came here.
Made the right decision, clearly, which is wonderful. And it's brought you to Cultural Connections on Siren Radio. So what more could you say? Let's move on to the first topical topic then, which is summer vacations. Because I often think this is something which probably we thank the Americans for, really, so much of life. Actually taking time out, having a holiday, taking a vacation. Yeah. Does that... Do you have that sort of time in Nigeria to actually to relax and unwind? Or is it a case of, no, we're in the 21st century, we need to work until we drop?
Okay, yeah, for me in Nigeria, so I don't really think people do summer vacation in Nigeria, but we just have just quite some aspect of people know about it and decide to let us have a getaway, let us go out and maybe have fun. But just some small group of people that actually know about it and decide to do it, because the way the Nigeria work environment is stationed. Okay, so we work and we have 25 days or 20 days or 15 days leave, and most people during that aspect, those people that actually have are buoyant to go on a trip, would say to go on a trip. But those that are not buoyant to go, just be at home with your family or something. So I think it also depends on everyone's vision or everyone's aim and what you know about what vacation is. But I can see quite a lot of people don't really do vacation. Just some aspect of people, like I mentioned earlier, that goes on vacation, etc. But even those that do it, decide to travel out of the country, not to go somewhere out of the country, to just have their vacation with their family, to see sightseeing and all, for shopping and all, that's what they do. So it's a different setting here when compared with the Western world like this. It's a different settings. And because like I work in a I work in an institutional back in Nigeria before I came here. So whenever I'm on on vacation, my vacation is always at home, or I'll do what I intend to do that I don't have time to do, because you know, 8 to 5 work, so it's turns to 8 to 9. So when you get home late, you can't do anything. So you have to put everything together and do it when you're on vacation. So that is how I mostly spend my vacation. So the summer vacation thing is not really a thing in Nigeria.
Yeah, I mean, Hamid, Nigeria is a big country. Whereabouts are you from in Nigeria?
Okay, I'm from the south to western part of Nigeria.
Okay.
And when you talk about vacation in my home country, first thing that will ring into your mind is, oh, I'm traveling out. Is the first thing when you hear about vacation. So talking about summer vacation in Nigeria, you know, we have two seasons. We have the dry and wet season. And then majority of us, we only look at you go to work, and then there's no particular time, there's no fixed time for you to go on vacation. I was opportune to work in the oil and gas sector in my own country. The middle class and the high class, those are the ones that even really have time for them to say, oh, let me just go somewhere to relax. And then the other part of them, they don't really go for vacation like that. Back in my home country, I could remember every December I always ensure that I take some time off just for me to relax. And to me, that is my own summer vacation, because that's the time I could relax and then do an activity. So there's nothing really like summer vacation. Yeah. But then you can just go on vacation whenever you feel like, you can take your leave and then go explore and do every other thing you want to do.
Mm. Ola, being in the academic profession, of course, we have such long vacations over the summer. It's amazing we actually sort of fit anything else in.
Yeah.
I'm jesting, of course, because that's if it ever was the case, it's become less frequently so given the range of things that we're faced with.
Mm.
But you know, we've just heard Hermes there saying most people that take a vacation, they leave Nigeria. Did you go to the Soviet Union and say, right, it was a vacation that sort of turned into a whole new area?
Yeah, not quite. One thing I want to clarify quickly about the concept of vacation, you know, in a Nigerian, you know, setting, is that it is cultural.
Yeah.
To the point, people don't think about, oh, I need to travel out to have relaxation, as they do in the Western world.
Yeah.
When I was working in Nigeria in those days, you would take your leave, basically, okay, so maybe about a month leave, and you would probably just stay at home with your family. And if you say to them and say, for instance, if you are living in a place like Ibadan, say, imagine like we are living in Nottingham, and then you want to go to London, and you say to your family members and say, oh, I'm on leave now, I want to go to London, they will say, do you know anybody there? Yeah, that's the first thing. They don't have that kind of, you just go to kind of have a discovery approach. No. Do you have someone there? If you say no, they say, then why do you want to go there? See the point? So it takes a bit of a mind shift to be able to start thinking of, okay, I need to know. So those who are already exposed, who have purchasing power as well, they may be thinking of, okay, let me leave my location for a while and with the family, and then so that I refresh myself. But majority, I would say that maybe more than 80% of working class people in Nigeria. Just stay back at home.
Exactly. Take your leave. Don't have a vacation. We've identified, obviously, that Hamid's from southwestern Nigeria. Samuel, whereabouts in Nigeria are you from?
Yeah, I'm from southwest.
Also southwest, yes. Right? Okay. That's and Ola, are you?
Southwest.
So very southern-centric scenario that we've actually got here. Cassandra Monique Beatty, known professionally as Andra Day, is up next. It's your choice of music. Samuel, why have you decided to go for Rise Up?
Yes, it's actually a music of the universe, because it's a music that reminds you that you are not a failure, and that reminds you that you, no matter what it is you who is you, and it's you who is going to help yourself up. So you need to rise up against all odds. So it's a music that I used to like embrace myself up, and also
a bit like Nigeria will have to do against Morocco to be the leading football nation in Africa, presumably.
So it's actually a fantastic music, and it's a music that actually for all, because when you listen to it, you see that it's actually for you, and it's a global music. It's good about unity, about you, about no matter what you're facing, you need to rise up. There is no giving up. There is no going down, no matter what it is. So that's, I love this song. I don't know, just like it. I love this song.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Move mountains, we're gonna walk it out and move. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,008 times again. And I'll rise up, I'll like the waves. I'll rise up, in spite of the ache. I'll rise up, and I'll do it. Silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,008 times again. For you, for you, for you. For that we have each other. I will rise 1,000 times again, and we'll rise up. I like the waves. We'll rise up in spite of the ache. We'll rise up, and we'll do it 1,000 times.
kind of inexorable rise up, really. A slow but sure rise up under day. With the first choice of music, of course, from one of our special Cultural Connections guests, of course, today. That's Samuel Adebayo and Rise Up. Excellent. Okay, it is Cultural Connections, it's Siren Radio. Let's move on to music as an important cultural connection in all sorts of ways. I mean, we made an interesting range of choices today for the team. Ola, we'll come to you first, because you said you're in a choir, you sing in a choir, you have that sort of line from that. Is music vitally important to your life? Do you, when you wake up in the morning, do you feel as though I have to actually have the full Wagner Gotterdammerung three-ring cycle to get me into a mood for teaching at Lincoln, or is it something completely different? Is it a kind of take it or leave it approach that you have?
Music is very important to anyone, and whoever who has never experienced the joy of having music around you or singing, I think they are missing out seriously, because your soul, there's something that music does to the soul, okay? And then it revives you somehow. And that's why it's good. When, anyway, I set an alarm in the morning, I don't set it to ringtones. I set it to music, you know, and because you want to be waking up to it, not and then you're shivering all over. But you wake up to a nice music, and then gently you wake up, and then so yes, either whether you have the voice to sing, because I believe that everybody has the voice to sing. It's just a matter of practice.
So believe me, I've listened to some of the karaoke sessions in the Swan in Lincoln. No, I mean, some of the way in which some of those notes are flattened by the karaoke singers, it brings me to tears.
Yeah, it's lack of training. You know, you have to be voice trained. Mm-hmm. Is the point. So, but once you get to that point and you're able to sing, you will enjoy the singing. But if not, if you don't, you know, kind of sing for yourself, but I didn't listen to songs that are, you will find your own niche, because there are different kinds of music anyway, you know. So again, it's what, like for a long time I couldn't understand jazz, and I had friends who they only play jazz in their music, and I said, what's this all about?
You know? Didn't appreciate Thelonious Monk and his deliberate discord and disharmony.
but blues, you know, I love blues, you know. Yeah. I'm very, they speak to you, and then, you know, make you kind of relax and things like that. So you just have to find the right one for you and begin to enjoy it and let it flow.
And Samuel, obviously your selection there of Andra Day, was it because of the kind of elements of speaking to the soul, speaking to the spirit, if you like, that really connected with you? Or was it a case of, well, you know, it just appealed? I mean, music is a thing of moods in many ways.
Yeah, for me, I think music itself is life. Yeah, so what I meant by that is that music encompasses everything about life itself. Because no matter what, or no matter where, no matter how, no matter anyway, it is music. So if you are down, it's music. If you are happy, it is music. If you are sober, it's music. If you are mourning, it's music. Any aspect of life is music. Mm. So no matter the situation you are, or what you need to get out of, or where you want to move to, or something, it is music. So music is life itself. So I have my kind of selection of music that whenever I listen to music and I like it, I will listen to it like 100 times before I get out of it, before I move to another one, because at that moment it's giving me the life. It's giving me what I want. It is bringing my initiative, my everything, and into life. So I chose Andrade because the first time I listened to it, that was years ago. I was at work when I listened to Andrade, and I felt like, man, I don't know, this is something that touched me, because I was actually going through some kind of thing then. But sorry, I don't want to go into that. So I was then going through some kind of thing then. So when I stumbled upon the song, I was like, wow, this is just the music for me right now. So I listened to it. In fact, at work, everybody knows this song because of me. Because at work, you can actually play music, some music like this that everybody would listen to, just to calm the environment and know. So everybody knows this song because I play it often and often. Mm. And it's what it does to me. So I see music as life itself. So everybody actually listen to it. Either you know how to sing or you don't know how to sing. Even if it's jazz, it's still music, because everything encompasses around music. So that's just me, and that's how I see music. And that is also why I chose the Andrade, because it's more personal and
With the advent of technology, it's fair to say that here in the 21st century, in certain instances, we've never had more ubiquity of music. Music is all around us. We can, at a touch of a button, actually access so many aspects. Yeah. We're proving that by this very program. In southwestern Nigeria, Hamid, had they ever heard of the Ipswich Town supporting copyright, possibly infringing Ed Sheeran before he got together with Burna Boy?
Yes, exactly. Ed Sheeran and Burna Boy, when you listen to their music, the first time I listened to the music, I was like, wow, this is music. And then a lot of us vibe to the music, not just because of anything, but because we recognize that music is an antidote to loneliness. If you are lonely and you listen to a particular music, the vibes will be there. Before you know it, you start dancing and your mood change. And as well, it's a kind of social isolation, because it gives you this kind of confidence. Even if you are down, you believe that if you listen to a particular music, it can take you up. For example, if you listen to a song, Wonderful Life, which talks about life. Sometimes, you know, when you lose someone that you don't even know anyone to talk to, and then there's this music coming to your head, you just feel solace into it that, oh, this thing is bringing me closer. And before you know it, your mood change. Sometimes, as you said earlier, you may be teary listening to music. It's a kind of communication on its own with what is in your head. And you are the only one that can describe exactly how you feel. And that leads you to the particular music you're listening to. And when you listen to that music, you just feel, oh, I think I'm okay now. And even if no one is there, once you listen to that music, you believe that, oh, it's really catchy and I'm okay.
So were you ever expecting Burna Boy to do a duet with Ed Sheeran for your next piece of music, For My Hand?
For My Hand. You know, when I listen to For My Hand, I want to hold you so tight, coming closer. That music.
You can do the whole song if you wish. I mean, copyright reasons, all marvelous stuff.
No. You know, when I listened to that music, I really fell in love with the music. And so, of the truth, I don't know till now why I'm in love with that music, because it really speaks volume. When anytime I listen to it, I don't get tired of it. And in my own side of my country, the southwestern part of the country, really appreciate the music with Ed Sheeran and then Burna Boy. We really appreciate the music, and in terms of copyright or what have you, we listen to it and we repeat it over and over again.
Yeah, just saying, for the benefit of legal eagles, Ed Sheeran, I don't think he's been found guilty as yet of infringing people's copyright, but he is having lots of challenges in terms of the legal situation of his whole particular aspect. Still, that's what happens when you like to sponsor Ipswich Town.
I wanna be in your life until the night is over. I wanna hold you so tight, coming closer. It's been a hell of a ride, but every single moment you were there by my side. Whenever I'm broken, you make me feel whole. Whenever I'm lonely, you're there for my soul. Wherever you are, girl, that's where I call my own. Whenever you doubt it, I'll be letting you know. Oh, girl, I want to be dancing with you forever. You see through the storm and take me as I am. Baby, it's magic anytime that we're together. I make I just love you and hold you for my hand. Hold you for my hand, yeah. Hold you for my hand. Hold you for my hand.
Over and over again. Yeah, my love is burning, babe. Feels like time is frozen and night is for us. We're alone again, every moment's golden, yeah. Feelings I've been holding in, it must be love.
Whenever I'm broken, you make me feel whole. Whenever I'm lonely, you're there for my soul. Wherever you are,
magic anytime that we're together. I make her just love you and hold you for my head. Hold you for my head. Until the night is over, until the night is over, until the night is over.
Actually, to be fair, Ipswich Town have got promotion this season, so it's all good. Anyway, that's if you're in the Ed Sheeran camp, of course. Let's move on to our final, and some might say arguably the most legendary aspect of Cultural Connections as the series has progressed, where we invite our team to effectively name one aspect of Lincoln that since actually arriving at the university, or indeed the city, they found unusual, charming, or frankly, completely incomprehensible. Let's turn to... Amy, with respect to this first. I mean, anything where you arrived and you gave us the reasons in terms of why you were attracted to the university, why business school was something you felt very much connected with, etc. But there must be time when you actually, you know, Lincolnshire sausages, for instance, what the heck are they? You know, any sort of aspect which you thought was quite peculiar.
Okay, looking at one aspect that is quite peculiar, let me talk about the library. The library, mm-hmm. Because what I'm exposed to in my own country, it's a bit different. So getting here, I understand that, though I can't say that we go in the manual way, not like the digital way, but then getting here, I realized that there were a whole lot of changes to what I understand by the word library. The word library that I know there is just for you to go in, just to read and that's it. So when I arrive in our own library here, I realized that I could do a lot with library. Firstly, I could get samples of dissertation. Not that they are not available in my own country there, but then there is this kind of authentication that you believe that you could get, and also the databases. You believe that if you need a particular thing and you go through the university database, you are rest assured that you'll be able to get a whole lot of things there, and that solves a lot of problems for you. Unlike when you just look at, you are the one solving your problem, but the library we have in here, they solve part of your problem for you. So it gives me less worry once I'm into the database of the university library. I believe that, oh, part of my problem is solved. Then the next thing is for me to now look at the topic and the journal I'm actually looking at, and it's really amazing for me, to be honest.
And do you have an area of specialization that you're looking to do your dissertation on, or
yes,
areas?
Humanitarian logistics.
Humanitarian logistics.
Exactly. And if you ask me why, I will tell you that in my home country, when we have all these, I can't call it disaster like that, Boko Haram, all this attack and all, where we have IDP camps, the questions, some questions that I actually ask myself is, how do they solve logistical issues in humanitarian space? It's a big question that I myself could not answer, but then I feel like I need to make more research about this. So that's what prompted me to look at humanitarian logistics for my dissertation.
And perhaps actually the importance of compassion as a bridging area?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The humanity, it's really important. Let's look at the humanity aspect of life.
Samuel, from your own point of view, anything that you found most unusual about Lincoln?
Lincoln as a whole, right?
Yes, the city, the university, anything from that point of view.
Okay, yeah. I think the first thing which maybe for everybody also is the cathedral. It was massive. The first day I went there, I've been there like four times now, because the first it was massive and I really have a bit of a short time to stay there, so I rushed back. So I went there again to really see how it was, and it was massive. It was surprising because I felt like, oh, this is what I saw in Camelot, Merlin, like this is the building, like Merlin and all this Game of Thrones. This is the building, and also then the castle as well, because they are opposite each other. So I went there as well to see how lovely it is. The walls, I mean, like the walls of I said, the walls of you know, this during the war, that the warriors will be on the walls like fighting. So I felt, oh, this is Ziggy's, what, this is just so, it was actually kind of interesting to see, and it's the thing that I felt, oh wow, so now I'm in the UK, like I'm not like
it's fair to
Africa.
Say that every city in the UK has a cathedral the size of Lincoln, really. I mean, obviously the very notion of a city needing to have a cathedral is there, but
yeah,
and there are Bath, Ely and so on which have cathedrals, but perhaps it's the positioning on the hill,
yeah,
and the fact that they had to build it twice after the earthquake knocked it down first time around. It meant a certain lasting element there, really.
It does, and I think it's been centuries, because it was built in, I think, 17 something, because I can't
remember. Oh, it was before that.
It's still like this. Wow, gosh, who was the architect? How did they do all those things? So it was actually amusing and surprising, like such beauty and the way it is here. And I think, okay, so something in particular, right? That is just it.
No, I was just thinking, in terms of your line about the cathedral, clearly they would have had a soundtrack of Andra Day singing Rise Up as they rose the cathedral up, really, to actually.
yeah, that's it.
And anything in particular about Lincoln apart from the cathedral that you thought?
Yeah,
about?
The Lincoln itself, it's something just like you mentioned. I'm not that person that actually go to the library, but I went to the library because we're back in the.
It's always good as a student to actually go to the library. I find out.
Yeah.
I usually endorse it a few number of times with students at some
point. Yeah.
Pay a visit. You know what you could have discovered there. You know.
Yeah. So I don't go to the library, but when I got there, and it's kind of a different atmosphere, and a different thing from what I get to know. Just like you mentioned, so it's a different thing. So when I went in there, and I felt like, wow, oh, this is something different from what I used to know, and quite a lot of information. And even before I even went to the physical library, I used the e-library, and I got a lot of resources there, and it's kind of like you don't need to stress yourself to get quite a lot of this information before now, because even before I actually started using before I get to know about the university database, because that was actually something unique for me, because I always used Google. So until I got this, my second semester, I got to know them about this university database. So this university has something like this, and I'm stressing myself to get all this kind of information. So I think the university has actually done much on that part for students, and the resources that we add that we don't know, like also having a librarian to talk to whenever you need something. So all this kind of thing encompasses, like,
I'm sure they'll be replaced by ChatGPT bots.
Maybe or maybe not, because I think ChatGPT also have its limits. Yeah, there are quite a lot of things that you can actually do, and the prompts are not, the answers are not prompt actually, because I've tried it, and I see it's not that prompt, so it has a limit as well. So they still have their jobs.
Absolutely. Well, Hamid actually is studying humanitarian logistics. What about your own particular focus?
Like I mentioned earlier, that I'm interested in business, so I'm actually focusing on SME. The problems and the limitation in developing countries, but I'm aiming at Nigeria, because there are quite a lot of problems facing SME. So I'm just trying to look at how the government intervention, how the government can actually come in, and venture capitalists also can come in with the problems that they are facing.
An interesting thing that I know, without giving any names away, Ola and myself have actually second marked a dissertation which was all about exploring how small medium enterprises could actually use public relations within the Lincoln area.
True.
I'm thinking, Ola, we might actually introduce the souls together on that point of view, because it was a very good dissertation.
It was very fantastic. You know, you could see a lot of investigation had gone into it, and then talking to small-scale businesses and their challenges and all sorts of things like that. I think the student had done very, very well. I like that kind of discovery, you know, going out there, not just writing from cobbled together materials. This is original.
You both agreed it was first-class work, admittedly undergraduate level, but it's still something which I think could be a useful connection. Cultural one, perhaps. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Okay. let's move into another form of relaxation, perhaps. Or is it? It's yoga and a sake are your final sort of choice of music. Why have you gone for this one, Samuel?
Yeah, yoga and a sake, because the yoga is a Senegalese language, which means like to relax and to meditate. So, and Ashake is also a brand that's coming up in Nigeria. So, he's bringing in the culture, trying to not stay in Nigeria, trying to bring in culture from every other African part into the music and transform them into something what it is. And so, yoga is more like a meditation. You need to be in a state of meditation and to relax yourself from stress or anything. So, just listen to the song, and everybody have enemies, or people, if you don't have any people, people that have enemies, just stress yourself away from that and just meditate and plan your future. So I just chose it because it's more about culture. Yeah, it's speaking more about culture, and because the first verse also talked about, it's not even in English, it's not even our language, it's in Senegalese. So it's just culture inclined.
Yeah, my lady. Malheureux pour toi, Moselle, femme de sa qui est na son mari, le bateau. Votre signaux signalé. Votre signaux signalé. Votre signaux signalé, mais pas un bateau dans la bas qui rentre.
On a la demi à chaque.
Oga, Oga.
Yoga, yoga.
I did on my way. Ademaya, nobody kill my yoga, yoga.
Yoga, yoga, yoga.
I did on my way.
Yoga, yoga.
Ademaya, nobody kill my yoga, yoga.
Yoga, yoga.
I did on my way. Ademaya, nobody kill my yoga, yoga.
Enemies, I get them too much. It is better to get them so close. Who go there for you, no go take off. Oju tele kan,
oju tele kan.
Mo dupe mo thank God. Omo lore mo baye mo keko. Oni labi e tete e beko. Ilu labi majiki ko soro.
Majiki ko soro.
What can far, what can far. Keep distance if you won't come wine. My lover, still balanced, I still gallant. Alubarika. Para mi meca, para paz, para la chaque sin parola. Yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga, yoga. Yoga, yoga. Vibration.
In a yogi way. Was it our Vedic yoga or was it just yoga? Very confusing. never mind. Okay, Oga. Oh, Ola. Oh, Ola. Have you? I mean, I think we talked about your bizarre aspect of Lincoln, but would you, I mean, back in the day, are there any thoughts that you'd like to share with us in terms of any unusual or quirky aspects, or is it just a case of, I'll just say two words, one uni? No.
Well, we have to think of it in terms of getting to Lincoln and being in Lincoln.
Mm.
You see, when I came to Lincoln for the first time, that was over 20 years ago. Actually, getting to Lincoln was very problematic. You know, you only have A46 was not dualized.
Horse and carriage? possibly just walk it as a pilgrimage.
Close to that. And many people didn't even know where Lincoln was. Mm. You know, you ask people around.
Thought it was in Nebraska.
Just exactly, you know, or somewhere in Scotland. Mm. In my head, that was what I was thinking. So, but getting to Lincoln, it has a different feel to it. In fact, of all my travels, and I've been to many, many countries, you know, in my short life, Lincoln was the first place I got to, and it felt like home, mm. apart from my home country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In one other place that I've gone to, you know, I just see it as a working environment. Yeah. But Lincoln felt, and I said to myself, I said, if I was offered a job, I would take it. Even before going to the interview, mm. I said, well, and then they offered me the job. So, well, that's it. You know? And I'm still here, you know, 22 years on. You know,
absolutely.
It's crazy.
Exactly. It's just most particularly, but there we are. It's been Cultural Connections that you've been listening to with the Nigerian special. It had to happen. But great stuff there. All from the southwestern Nigeria as well. Ola. Actually, you're also southwestern Nigeria.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And yes, Hamid.
Sorry, I want to add something. And that is the people of Lincoln.
Hmm. Oh.
Of the truth, I'm not sure. Though I've not been the type that travel over many places, mm. but in Lincoln, yeah, I think they've got good people in Lincoln. Of the truth,
that's why they're proud to be yellow bellies. Very peculiar. And I still don't know where the yellow belly term has come from. There are various sort of suggestions in terms of what the origins were, but we never quite know. Mythologies of Lincolnshire, perhaps we'll put that under that. As I mentioned, thanks to Hamid, to Samuel, and obviously to Ola, our executive producer, of course, and participant of Cultural Connections. Volume 10 has just wrapped with just one last little number, which effectively, Hamid, you're responsible for, because originally I was slightly confused. I thought, oh, you've gone for Wonderful World by Black. No, you've gone for Louis Armstrong, of course.
Yes.
And What a Wonderful World, which again, see trees of green, skies of blue, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. That's pretty much it. Thanks to Ola, Hamid and Samuel. You've been listening to Cultural Connections on Siren Radio. Should we all say, can we say bye-bye in Nigerian? What's the official line for Nigerian for say farewell?
In Yoruba, it's Odabo. And yeah, I think we all share
that
the
same. That is it. Yes.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more, I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.